JP reads for you. Die Glocke by Kelsey Bowman. Well, good evening, good afternoon. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio. And right now I'm going to do some JP reads for you. So we have Haggy Reads for you. And just now, I received this book several... when was it? It was just before my birthday, March 17th. And I've hardly had a moment to do anything with it. So I'm just going to just go for it right now. It doesn't seem to be quite as thick as the Atlantis, but it's probably about half the size of the Atlantis book. So let's see how far we get with this. I think we've got plenty of recording headroom. So I'm going to just add another pair of glasses here to the mix. These ones will correct the astigmatism. Oh, that's good. Okay, so... please, those German speakers among the listeners, please do forgive my lack of German expression and things. Okay. So... it was the year 1943, Berlin, Germany. The tide of the war was about to change, and the German high command knew it. An important meeting was called in the main security building of the Third Reich's SS officer branch. Die Glocke, where are we on that, Colonel Sieger? The Wunderwaffe will be ready for testing within 6 months' time, General Kammler. A tall, slender figure turns from his fantastic third-floor office window view of the Berlin streets that spread out before him. He faces another Nazi officer and states his concern. If we don't get this weapon ready to deliver on the Allies, we will lose this war. Do you understand, Sieger? Yes, sir, General. Now remind me, Colonel, what exactly is the Wunderwaffe going to do for the Reich other than winning the war in the blink of an eye? The Colonel removes his hat and places under his right arm. Sir, as you know, the Bell is an unconventional technology for propulsion. Our goal is to deliver the atomic weapon Section Z is developing to Washington, D.C. The Führer says the Allies will surrender within days of the strike. You brainiacs. Atomic, unconventional. Make it simple for me, Sieger. The atomic refers to the power stored in the smallest part of matter theorized by Albert Einstein. Einstein. Juden! Yes, General. Go on. Kammler waves his hand in a smug manner. We are trying to harness this into a superweapon of colossal magnitude. Excellent. And Die Glocke. We like to call it the Bell, sir, due to its distinctive shape. This is not the Wunderwaffe per se, but the delivery system for that weapon of mass destruction. It manipulates gravitational fields through electromagnetic torsion. I said simple, Sieger. Spinning charges, sir. It causes a plasma vortex bending space-time. It's like a battery of infinite magnitude with the positive and negative poles spinning in opposite directions. There's more to it than that, sir, but that's as simple as I can make it. You said space-time. That sounds a little mad, Sieger. You would not call me mad if you saw some of the results that the first small test models produced, sir. As a matter of fact, Einstein and Tesla are working on a similar project called Rainbow in the Chicago harbor as we speak.
Rainbow? What's that about?
Radar invisibility, or so our spies tell us, sir.
Sounds like fiction to me, Ziga.
But if this Führer thinks that it was willing... But if the Führer thinks it will win the war, well, who am I to argue?
You said results. What type of results?
Weird effects in the local gravitational fields. Bending of metals, or more so the warping of metals with no heat or sound produced. One test showed complete invisibility from the visual spectrum for up to 10 seconds. No limit to force produced. Some of these test models shot off to infinity in seconds. Hence, if we can harness this technology, the possibility exists of delivering a weapon simultaneously from launch to a target anywhere in the world, sir.
Yes, I can see why this technology is so important.
So be it. Divert all energy of our SS X-Science Research Division behind this now. I want results, Ziga, and I want them now.
Yes, sir.
Heil Hitler, he clicks his heels and turns and walks towards the massive oak doors in the close distance.
Chapter 2. The Vril Society. You may ask yourself where things originate. And right now, Colonel Ziga was glad Kamala did not ask where Diglock's origins stem from. As a matter of fact, to get to the next piece of the puzzle of unknown technologies, he had to meet with Madame Goethe. She was a well-known psychic performing channeling sessions for the Vril Society. The Vril Society was a dark, ominous group closely related to the occult researches of the SS. Hitler was trying to get his hands on a weapon that would guarantee world domination. The Führer's experience with the capturing of the Spear of Destiny when he took Austria increased his power tenfold. With this, his lust for the occult spiraled out of control. The Reich's resources and focus have kept them 15 years ahead of the Allies in technology, but yet the tide of the war was turning against Germany. The Reich desperately turned to the Vril Society for more answers. The Vril Society was working with medium channeling of extraterrestrial beings from another galaxy. To most of the SS hierarchy, this was all rubbish. But yet, a large percentage of the information brought back from these channeling sessions did bear fruit. In particular to the Bell. The spinning electric field seen by Mrs. Goethe in a communication with an extraterrestrial called Anquil. To Ziga, it didn't matter where it came from. All he wanted to do was get this war over with and go home to his wife and kids. So, if Winnie the Pooh told him to build this thing, he would have. It was 9 p.m. and Ziga was already running late. His broad, lean frame scurries through the dark, drizzly air and down the cobblestone walkway. He only had a few blocks to go. His destination lies in the heart of German high class, the Wilhelm Villa. The Wilhelms were one of the richest families in Germany and the biggest financial supporter of the Nazi Party. They were firm believers in the Vril teachings and practices. It was this family that managed to convince the SS High Command to use the Vril mediums to gain advances in technology. Colonel Ziga finds himself standing in front of two white wood doors. He extends his right arm and knocks 3 times with the brass ring knocker. Takes a step back, adjusts his uniform to appear his best. A beautiful, blonde, blue-eyed, master race woman gracefully opens the doors.
Hello, Colonel Ziga. Please come in.
Her hand motions in a welcoming manner. Ziga walks into a large open area. He's surrounded by marble floors, dark oak wood trim, fantastic artworks hung throughout. Two large granite statues guard the entrance to the main gathering room. Just beyond the two renditions of Apollo and Zeus, Ziga can see three of his top research scientists enjoying each other's conversations and a few glasses of schnapps. He makes his way across the room to his colleagues.
You chaps in for a psychic ride or what?
Yes, sir, a stubby little fellow replies.
Alfred, is this your first time witnessing one of these sessions?
Not really, sir. My first wife was a psycho and she gave me enough sessions to last a lifetime.
I said psychic, not psycho.
Yeah, I know. Laughter breaks out among the trio. So much so that the crowd's attention is drawn to them. This is serious business, said the Wilhelms, and SS members. Disciplinary looks are cast from the most serious of the group gathered in the large dining room.
Alfred, looking at the others in the group.
Huh, why so serious?
Again, laughter breaks out. Ziga and his three subordinates are not the type of men to give in to some off looks from some upper German class members. They themselves come from the highest of German lineage. Their education's next to none. They were essential to the success of these advanced projects. It could not be done without them.
An elderly lady walks in and takes center stage.
Hello, everyone, she says with a loud, authoritative voice. Can I have your attention, please? I am Mrs. Anna Goethe, your medium for tonight's session. Please take a seat, everyone. I will need you all to remain silent throughout the channeling session. If you cannot do this, I must ask you to leave now.
She waits a moment before continuing.
Okay, then let's begin. Will someone please dim the light?
The room fades to a comfortable, dimly lit setting. The glow and heat from the room's fireplace provides further relaxation. She takes a seat in the center of the room's area rug. Several minutes pass by in total silence before she speaks.
Anquil,
she calls out in a long, drawn-out voice. Silence fills the great room once more.
Through space and time I call to you, my source of knowledge. Anquil, answer me.
Her head falls to her chest. She appears to be in distress, struggling to get something out. Several deep breaths are taken before the room is filled with an unworldly voice.
Yes, it's me.
Anquil, is that you?
Yes. Have you made progress on the development of the gravitational propulsion system?
We have. Still, we have not been able to obtain stable vehicle control or reliable power sources.
I need to commune with a research scientist.
Mrs. Goethe once again goes completely silent. Her head bobs, weaving side to side, eyes closed. Suddenly,
Colonel Ziga. Ziga, please step forward and approach me.
Stunned and shocked, Ziga and his crew turn and gaze at one another, not knowing what to do.
Well, here goes nothing, boys.
Ziga leans in and whispers. He makes his way through the crowd that's gathered around the withered old lady.
Yes, Mrs. Goethe. It's me, Colonel Ziga.
Anquil, Colonel Ziga is here. He's the chief design engineer on the Bell project.
Mrs. Goethe goes between states. At times she speaks normal as an old lady would. Then at other times a voice that could not have been hers bellows out.
Ziga, is that you?
A disembodied voice calls out.
Anquil, is that you? Ziga replies in a shy and nervous tone.
Yes. What is the nature of the issues with the drive system?
We cannot achieve enough voltage potential for large-size crafts and control has been unstable.
What are you using for creation of the rotating electric field?
A Van de Graaff generator supplies the voltage potential to solid rotating discs.
No, no. You must use Vril energy to get the desired voltage potential. No discs. Use cylinders filled with Vril.
I don't understand. What is Vril energy?
An unstable radioisotope of a superfluid. You must find the right mixture of what exists in your world. Thus, the Vril is different in all worlds.
So Vril is a liquid?
A liquid metal. In your world, mercury would be the best example.
Are you saying mercury is what we use?
No. Make a superfluid from whatever elements can give you the liquid properties of mercury and the conductive properties of a metal. Make this superfluid unstable in its electron configuration. Under the compression of high-speed rotation, the Vril energy will be released. The energy put into the system will be amplified by infinite amounts. Then you will achieve the potentials to lift any mass. Control will stabilize the field magnitude, and you will have a visible... Control will stabilize with field magnitude, and you will have a visible... No. You will have a viable propulsion system.
What's a superfluid? How do we... Suddenly, Mrs. Goethe begins to jerk and shake. Enquil, don't go! Don't go!
One last ghostly voice calls out. Red mercury!
Ziga replies, Red mercury?
Mrs. Goethe collapses off her chair into a pile on the master wood floor.
Ziga moves in to aid her. She looks up into his blue eyes. Did you get what you needed?
I'm not sure, ma'am.
It will come to you, Colonel. Please escort me into the next room and tell me what transpired.
Mean you can't remember what took place, Mrs. Goethe?
I very seldom do, Colonel.
Ziga gently helps the old lady to her feet. They exit the great dining room and enter a small library. Ziga sits Mrs. Goethe down next to a warm fireplace. He finds the nearest chair and sits next to her. As Ziga talks with her, he begins to become overcome with calmness. It reminds him of the feeling he used to get when he would have long conversations with his mother while vacationing in the Owl Mountains as a child. The time flew by, and as the conversation came to a close, Ziga began to believe that this old woman did have some kind of extrasensory ability.
Chapter 3. Project Reiser.
Ziga exits the Wilhelm Villa to join his three fellow research scientists outside for a smoke.
Well, Colonel, what did you think about this evening's events?
Not really sure, Alfred, but it definitely got my wheels spinning. By the way, I have to inform you about the SS High Command's new plan.
Ziga, holding the lighter in his hands to protect the flame from the cold, damp wind, he struggles to light his cigarette. Inhales a deep breath and exhales slowly. He can feel the nicotine rush through his body, relaxing every cortex of his brain.
Here's what's happening due to increased Allied air bombing. All secret weapons projects, the V-2 and V-1 rocket programs, the Bell and the Vril weapons, are all being moved underground. General Hans Kammler is in charge. He will brief us in detail tomorrow at 0900 hours, gentlemen. No one better be late. All the big brass will be there. We are now responsible for the biggest weapons project in German history.
Ziga turns to his three companions. Alfred, Zurich, Otto, see you later. The
colonel bows and turns, making his way down the walkway to the stone streets. As he turns left and about half a block down, he's startled by a female's voice. "Colonel, wait!" Zeke turns to see a tall, slender, blonde beauty, a paper held over her head, keeping the slight drizzle from ruining her perfect golden locks. Zeke halts and waits as her run slows to a graceful walk. Their eyes meet. Zeke is swept away in her beauty. The smell of lemon water overwhelms the damp air. He recognizes her, the blonde beauty that answered the door at the Vellum Villa. "Hello. My name is Helga Velhen. I'm General Kamler's administrative assistant. He requested that I take notes on tonight's medium session. He will need this prior to your morning briefing." "Yes, absolutely. I notice an accent in your German, Helga. Where do you come from?" "I was born here but moved to Canada, when I was a small girl. I moved back in 38 on family request, Colonel." "Where would you like to do this? Not here in the drizzle and the cold." "There is a small coffee house just around the corner. Would you like to go there?"
"Is it private?"
"This time of night? No one should be there, and with your SS leaves, the place should clear out quickly." "You don't like the SS, Helga?"
"My family does."
"I do not. Do you have a problem with that, Colonel?"
"No, Helga. No problem at all. Shall we go?"
They walk side by side. They walk side by side down the street and turn the corner to view a quaint little coffee house. Helga begins to run, looking back. "Come on, Colonel, don't just stand there." He follows her, jogging slowly. A childish smirk comes across his face. They enter the front door. Helga leads Zeke to a booth at the rear of the shop. They remove their jackets and sit. As the time passes and some coffees turn to brandies and the conversation is turned to lighter topics, music, art, and books, Zeke has not enjoyed a woman's company in over 3 years. Since he left home to war, he enjoyed it, a relief from these dark times. Before they knew it, the clock rang 12 times. They gazed deep into each other's blue eyes, their faces lightly lit by candle glow, and the comfortable silence fills the room. "Well, Miss Vellum, I should walk you to the safety of your home and then retire for the night."
"Yes, you'd better, Colonel," Helga says with an inviting look in her eyes.
Zeke, remembering his wife and children, quickly convinces himself that in no way would or could turn this into a sexual relationship. They exit the shop and start their way back into the villa. Helga, being outgoing and bubbly, slides her arm into Ziga's arm and pulls him closer. She leans her head to his broad shoulder. Ziga's heart pounds nervously. He again talks about the weather and other trivial topics. The time passes as quick as a blink of an eye.
"Here we are, Colonel. Thanks for the evening. I look forward to our next encounter."
She leans in once again, this time kissing his smooth cheek. Zeke is stunned by this woman's forwardness, not in a bad way.
"Night, Helga."
"See you tomorrow morning, Colonel." The beauty turns and skips to and through the villa's two great entrance doors. Her scent lingers in the cold, damp air. Zeke enjoys one last inhale and walks into the night. The next morning comes in a flash. Zeke still finds himself refreshed and excited for some reason. He shaves and baths, puts on his best uniform, polishes his boots and metals. Ominous is the final appearance of this SS colonel. Tall and lean, deep blue eyes and sharp facial features stare back at him as he looks into the mirror one last time before setting off to his planned meeting. Through the busy Berlin streets, he fights his way to the SS Research Center. Up three flights of stairs, through security checks, and finally through the majestic oak doors into General Kammerer's office. There he finds Alfred, Zurich, and Otto talking amongst themselves in a distant corner of the huge office. At the other far corner, he sees Kammerer standing in front of a giant outcropping window, gazing over the streets of Berlin. Beside him stands probably the most important man in all this secret mess, Reichsleiter Martin Bormann. These men had all the power. They were the closest to Hitler and entrusted with the Reich's secrets. Zieger steps in and is greeted by Helga.
Good morning, Colonel.
How are you?
Good, Helga. And you?
Helga smiles.
Fine, sir. Some coffee?
Yes, thanks. Okay, chaps, take a seat, General Kammerer bells out, and then extends his hands towards a large oak table in the centre of the room. The table, oval in shape and surrounded by Victorian-style chairs, offers a look of style and sophistication, but yet has been the location of the world's most cruel decisions. They all take seats. Helga sits next to Zieger. He was nervous, but her presence calms him. Today we are graced by the presence of Reichsleiter Bormann, and he will relay the Führer's orders and plans for us.
The development of the Vril weapon and the Glock are our priorities. We are moving all operations and weapons development underground to avoid Allied air raids. This new facility will be called the Ries.
The Riesa. Riesa meaning giant.
Yes, General. It will be giant in every aspect. The largest project in the Reich's history, and it must all be secret. No one can know outside the chosen circle of trust. It will consist of 7 underground complexes located in Lower Silesia.
The Owl Mountains. Didn't you spend summers there as a child, Zieger?
Yes, General Kammerer.
Well, it looks like you'll be returning home. But then not for play, right, Zieger?
No, sir. Kammerer laughs. Hey, I would.
Bormann also extends a similar sadistic giggle.
Please continue, Marshal Bormann. Your operation and design will be carried out at Xitz Castle. Construction began 5 months ago on the underground complexes. You four will ship out immediately, and 56 other researchers and technicians will join your project over the next few months. Your assignment, gentlemen, is to construct the bell. Without it, delivery of the Vril weapon with devastating surprise cannot be achieved. I want you to master this technology. See what other uses exist for the Reich to exploit. Section Z of the SS X Sciences Research Division will continue with the development of the Vril weapon in conjunction with your work. Anything to add, General?
Yes, Marshal. SS Jacob Sporenberg will oversee operations and security of these projects. You will report to him and give him whatever he asks for.
Are you getting all of this, Helga?
Yes, General Kammerer.
Okay, then, let's move on.
I read over Helga's notes from last night's medium session this morning, and all I can say is, wow. I don't really need to know the nonsense stuff.
Zieger, the only thing I found of interest was the mention of a superfluid. My eyebrows rose when I read these words, red mercury. Section Z is currently working with a substance for triggering nuclear reactions, fission and fusion and other things. The funny thing is that they call this substance red mercury.
Zieger, upon hearing this, is overcome with a dismayed look. His jaw hit the floor, in other words.
General Kammerer sees this and says, Zieger, my response was the same.
Marshal Bormann interjects, See, gentlemen, there may be more to this madness than meets the eye. The actual chemical nomenclature given to this substance by Section Z is Xerum 525. General Kamala quickly takes control of this meeting. Ziga, I think we already have this real energy. That's your first task at Kzatz Castle. Contact the leader of Section Z and arrange the trade of information to the Bell Project. Once that's complete, I want construction drawings for Diglock. I want this up and ready for testing in 6 months' time. Yes, sir, General Kamala. Ziga, remember, we have unlimited resources behind us. Whatever is needed to achieve our goals and deadlines, you get. Borman enthusiastically boasts, like a death coach from hell. Kamala ends the meeting as quick and as efficiently as it began. Okay, that's all. Your orders will be given to you by Helga on the way out. The four men quickly stand. Heil Hitler! Is shouted in a sharp manner. The unison of the sound echoes through the large oak doors and down the hallway. They turn in fashion and march out of the room. Helga quietly follows the four. Kamala shouts out, Helga, once you've finished with Ziegler and his crew, I need you back in here. Please close and lock the door when you re-enter.
Absolutely, General. Absolutely, General.
She exits with the large oak doors closing behind her. Kamala, a tall and skinny man. The years of stress have given him a leathered look. His life actions harden his heart, for he knew the Reich's true nature. Total domination and destruction. Okay, Bowman, now for the evacuation orders. What do you want to do?
Not what I want, Kamala. What the Führer wants. General Sporenberg will be in charge of this. Only he sees the true order from Hitler. Our only concern is that none of this real technology falls into Allied hands. Sporenberg's orders will guarantee that this will not happen. This order is only to be identified in your official records as Action 66. There will be no other mention of it to no one from this date forward. Understand, Kamala?
Yes, sir. Reich Marshal Bormann.
Chapter 4. Kzatz Castle. Kzatz. It's a K-S-I-A-Z. Right. Kzatz. The next morning, Ziger and his three mates meet at the Berlin train station to catch a military transport. The destination of this train was a concentration camp in the Polish Owl Mountains. It's 6 a.m. and the cold morning September air wakes them all as they inhale off their fine tailor-made German cigarettes.
Zurich, I'm excited, aren't you?
Yeah, scared is more like it, Otto.
Scared of what? Of what we might build, Otto. What happens if we succeed?
The colonel whispers a friendly warning. Gentlemen, remain quiet till the castle's inner walls surround us. Otto and Zurich respond,
Yes, Colonel, sir.
They board the train. It is then the group realized that this train is bound to Auschwitz. Jews crammed in the last several cars are the reminder of this grim secret. Their whispers and cries can be heard in the thick, cold fall air. It's funny, Ziga thinks. All these people around, yet nobody bats an eye, lifts a finger to these atrocities. He knows fear keeps all Germans in line today. This extermination, genocide, has been going on for years. All the SS command knew of it. Ziga himself, haunted by his actions in the early days of the SS. Although he was a scientist, all SS members of rank had their hands stained in blood and betrayal. He witnessed the mass murders in Poland, the brutality of Auschwitz, aware of Dr. Mengele's human genetic experiments. Ziger knew Hitler and the Nazi SS would stop at nothing to achieve their goal of world domination and genocide. Even the Vril Society believed in this master race philosophy. What was he to do? Nothing he could do.
He knew this could not go on forever. Conspiracy after conspiracy was being uncovered to kill Hitler. Everyone, everywhere, wanted him and his regime gone. It was just a matter of time. Ziga knew if he kept his head down with his mouth shut and did his job, that time might solve his dilemma. Either the Allies would bomb them into annihilation, or they would succeed with the Wunderwaffe, and Germany would rule the world. Either way, the war would be over for him. He takes one last look at the doomed people and steps onto the train. He follows Alfred, Otto and Zurich through the train car. It is extremely crowded. Suddenly he feels a gentle touch on his lower back. Ziga turns his head quickly, staring into the gaze and smile of a newly acquainted friend.
Helga, how nice to see you. What are you doing here?
I've been assigned to Ksatz Castle and your team.
I'm your go-to girl, Colonel. What do you think of that?
Your company will be greatly appreciated, Helga. Just remember, I think a girl as beautiful as yourself can cause army men to go nuts in a confined space.
I'll behave myself, sir.
And you think I'm beautiful?
All men think you're beautiful, Helga, and I know you know that. See, it's already started.
Both laugh.
See, it already started.
We have about a 2-hour ride, Colonel. Should we create a to-do list?
Good idea, Helga. Let's first get some eats. Good idea, Helga. Let's first get some seats. I'm having trouble with the Colonel here.
Colonel, I took the liberty... Hang on, I'm going to have a sip of tea.
Colonel, I took the liberty of reserving you a coach. Follow me, sir, it's in the next car up. As Ziga and Helga squeezed by their three companions, a smile's exchanged among them.
Lucky bastard, eh, boys?
For sure, Alfred. She is beyond gorgeous. That should be against some law somewhere. They continue their schoolboy speculation and nervous banter. Ziga and Helga politely make their way to the next car through an array of faces and bodies. The train starts to move forward and slowly and suddenly stops. Her body is thrust into Ziga's firm back. He turns. Helga, are you okay? The train instantly repeats this sequence of actions. This time her chest presses hard into Ziga's upper torso. He feels the firmness of her young, supple breasts. Helga does not pull away quickly, but holds her position, gazing deep into the colonel's eyes.
Thanks for catching me, sir.
My pleasure, Helga. A short silence occurs as they break apart. After an exercise in patience, they find themselves in their coach. They remove their jackets, sit and get comfortable. Helga reaches into her bag and pulls out a notepad. She regains her original position and is startled by the view of a dark figure looming just outside the cabin doors. A knock follows.
Yes, come in, Ziga shouts out.
The doors slide open.
Hello.
Ziga quickly stands and salutes.
Heil Hitler!
At ease, Colonel Ziga.
Yes, General Sporen...
Sporenberg sounds like half Scottish. Yeah. Yes, General Sporenberg. Ziga sits, never taking an eye off the general.
I just wanted to say hi and introduce myself. I'm sure we'll be seeing a great deal of each other. Anyway, I have some quests waiting for me, so I bid you adieu and see you later.
The Dark Lord of the SS Secret Weapons Projects abruptly turns and vanishes and appears to be an RAF officer. Anyway, Helga looks around to see if anyone is watching or listening.
Colonel, that man scares me. When we're alone, Helga, please call me Rudolf if you feel comfortable doing that.
I'd like that, Rudolf.
See, that wasn't so hard, was it? Now, tell me, Helga, why does General Sporenberg scare you?
When the Führer trusts you, and only you, with the disposal of Nazi secrets, well, we should all be scared of him. It's then Ziga realizes she's right. The thought vibrates through his mind. They're gonna kill us all, destroy all the evidence, and I just met the guy who was gonna do it. Ziga was always sharp and quick to the punch. He now knew that the Allied air raids would not save him, but guarantee his death and the death of all his loved ones. Success was his only option. The Vril weapon and the bell must work. He remained quiet for the duration of the train ride. The whistle blows and the train grinds to a halt. Ziga sat staring out of the coach window, watching the people file off the train to the platform below. In the background, he can hear Helga listing off the resources already committed to Project Racer. 9,000 Jews from Auschwitz already on site constructing tunnels and work areas. 10 million cubic feet of cement. 75 miles of rebar. 180 miles of road, sewer and waterworks. Ventilation shafts. She pauses. Rudolf, are you okay? Yes, Helga, just paranoia setting in. It seems common in the SS lately. Rudolf, everything will be okay. In these days, Helga, I'm not sure about that. Here, let me get your bags and see about our transportation. I've already taken care of that. Follow me. Ziga notices that she moves like a cat, with stealth, like she's either a natural or had some sort of training. Again, Ziga says to himself, just the paranoia creeping in. Just relax. All five meet up outside the train station and the military limousine waiting for them.
Today we ride in class, Zurich bellows out.
Otto and Alfred quickly jump in, bellowing, come on, Helga, get in. Ziga walks around the vehicle and takes the front passenger seat. He remains distant for the remainder of the ride, only listening to the others' joyful banter. The familiar view of the local surroundings as they make their way up the slopes of Mount Owl towards Katzkastel reminds the colonel of his childhood. He remembers, as a boy, meeting his wife on summer vacation. The memories race through Ziegler's mind. It only takes a few images before the memories turn dark. The image of his mother and father pop into the view of his mind's eye. The memories of their time spent here soon darkened by the memories of their deaths. Both killed in bomb raids. Ziga sees the dark gloom of the Nazi Empire in the faces of the walking dead working along the roadside. Soon the silence screams through the car. They all realize the gravity of the events unfolding before their eyes. The Nazi war machine was like a wounded animal, fighting with all its might to survive. Now the four in the back seat knew Ziga was key. He was the one who could translate these medium sessions into usable technology. That's why he rose through the ranks so quickly. That's why he was so important. The group remained quiet for the remainder of the ride. Half an hour later, they drive up to the castle's entrance security checkpoint. Ziga is positioned directly across from the two security guards. They both rise and salute. Heil Hitler! Colonel Ziga, we need to see all passengers' paperwork, sir. I apologize for the convenience.
No problem, Corporal. Okay, you guys know the drill. Ziga turns and tells his team.
It only takes minutes and a quick vehicle check, then the ride up the mile and a half driveway begins. They can see the peaks of Katzkastel. The roadway is surrounded by forest. It provides the passengers with the most diverse deep colorations of green. The visual effects relax Ziga and his crew. The silence of the countryside and the sound of a nearby running brook cause the group to forget the grim reminders of the war that they just witnessed. That's better.
Alfred exhales as he folds his arms behind his head and leans back. It's a short-lived period of peace, but still enough to re-energize the road-weary crew. There it is, Ziga pointing at the fantastic building. A full frontal view of the castle comes to bear. My God, sir, it's beautiful. Where is my room? Alfred laughs.
What do you mean, where is my room, Helga?
Otto and Zurich's room. Hey, where are our rooms? Ziga with a grin on his face. Hey, kids, I'm sure us among everyone will get the best rooms. I'll make sure of it. Now that's power, they all laugh. I'm a somebody, all right, Ziga replies. This is an amazing piece of architecture, sir. Have you seen this before, Colonel? Yes, Otto. Many times as a child. I've even been inside. Helga eagerly interjects.
You'll have to give us a tour, Colonel. First thing I have planned, Helga.
Zatz Castle is located near the city of Walbrich. No? It's got a Z in it. Alright, Walbrich. We'll call it Walbrich. Ziga's family had a large summer property not too far from the castle grounds. He vacationed here many times as a child. He even met his wife on Mount Owl. She was a young, pretty girl, brown hair and green eyes. They would meet years later in Austria and fall in love. The castle was confiscated by the Nazi Party in 1941 for the organization efforts of the Poland massacres. Ziga knew the history of the site well. It was built in 1263 by Ottokar II of Bohemia and stood to this day almost 800 years. The castle was fought over, sold, bought, and finally confiscated. Gzatz had all the majestic features that the 13th century construction could offer. Stone sculptures of gargoyles and mortal works of angels and mythical creatures peered outward to all who enter. The rooms huge, and the maze-like placement of the many bedrooms, libraries, studies and dining areas made it somewhat disorienting. The decor matched the time period as well. High ceilings with Da Vinci-style oil paintings in every room. Thick wood borders, the finest wood floors, all types, oaks, pine and spruce. Some rooms blended with these woods to form star patterns. Another disorienting feature. Gzatz Castle, as with every castle, had its hidden passageways and secret rooms. It also had its unknown escape routes to the slopes of Mount Owl. Ziga knew them all. His best friend in grade school lived in this place. He remembered every nook and cranny. Ziga even knew two of the new levels, the tunnels that the Nazis secretly constructed shortly after confiscating the castle. They exit the car and the five enter the giant front doors. The doors opened by several of the dozens of little SS cronies Ziga had been accustomed to using for meaningless tasks. Tasks like, get my luggage, feed me, wash me, and the list goes on. All SS-ranked officers enjoyed this privilege. Otto and Zurich are amazed at this treatment. Alfred, looking at Otto and Zurich, I can get used to this fast. Helga immediately shadows Ziga. She's comforted by his knowledge of the place and his powering presence. Ziga, now 38 years old, well-defined, good-looking no doubt, and he knew it, just like Helga knew about herself. His wife fell in love with his eyes. They were deep blue with star-like flakes of silver blended throughout, pupils as black as night. They tended to look through you. Helga enjoyed the gaze they exchanged with hers at every encounter. Ziga turns to invite Helga over to his side. Helga, I think I know the perfect room for you. Otto, Zurich, Alfred, let's get you settled first. Dinner will be served in an hour's time. We'll tour later. They follow Ziga up four flights of stone stairs.
My God, keep this up, and I'll lose my figure, gasped Alfred. Me too. You'll lose any more weight, Otto, and you'll be invisible. Then I'll be a Wunderwaffe, Alfred.
The laughter remains in the air till they reach the top of the stairs. Ziga calls out, Otto, first room on the left. Zurich, you're across the hall from Otto. Alfred, second room on the left. They all answer swiftly, Yes, sir. Like schoolboys, they run to their new beds. They splash into them and enjoy what royalty experiences. Ziga and Helga continue down the Gothic hallway. As they approach the end, Ziga stops. I think you'll enjoy this, Helga. He reaches down and opens the door with a quick turn and push.
Wow, Rudolph, I love it. Thank you.
Where will you be staying?
Just across the way and one room down. You'll be safe here, Helga.
I know. I have you to protect me. Ziga bows and exits, closing the door behind him. The five unpacked within their hour time limit and reassemble together in the main hall for a well-deserved dinner. Helga, our 50 or so researchers will arrive in the next month or so. I will leave you to assign them living quarters, orientation, the usual stuff.
Absolutely, Colonel.
Otto and Alfred, you two start rough drafts, dimensions, material requirements, stuff like that. Zurich and I will find the leader of Section Z and start looking into Scarum 525. When should we have these rough drawings completed, sir? We'll meet tomorrow sometime to fill in the blanks. Tuesday after that, I want them done. We'll deal the rest as it comes. Nightly meetings for review and planning should keep us on schedule. Now, enough of the humdrum, let's enjoy a good meal. They eat and laugh as a family would. They all enjoyed this time. A welcome oasis in a desert of fear. It goes on for hours, perhaps a little too much so. Wine is drunk and lewd behavior is performed, all in good fun. They all got used to living their lives one day at a time. In these times, tomorrow is guaranteed to no one. The five retire for the night and wake at 8 a.m. sharp. Breakfast and right to work. The group gathers outside for their morning smoke.
Well, Helga, who's running Section Z?
Dr. Warner Edkerts.
That guy gives me the creeps.
Is it his scarred head, Alfred, or the eye patch?
Zurich laughing. For me, it's that weird thing he does around young girls. Ziga cuts in. You guys are hilarious, but remember, this guy really is nuts.
Dr. Warner Eckert is the definition of a mad scientist. Horribly disfigured from an experiment 3 years prior. Apparently, it involved a small fusion reactor. He was involved in the X-Sciences. He was involved in the X-Sciences, the paranormal, atomic and subatomic particle physics, teletransportation, the really weird stuff. As if the space-time principles of the Bell was not weird enough, if all this madness wasn't nuts, Dr. Warner Eckert was. Helga convinces her newfound family to join her in a group photograph.
Where would you like us to pose? Alfred asks.
Listen to you pose, Zurich jokes. How about right here, outside, so we get the whole castle in the background?
Sure, the colonel replies.
They all follow the blonde beauty. The sun is shining and the sky is clear. She instructs the men into their positions. Conversations and laughter occurring as she sets her camera timer. Helga places the camera on the steps ledge and runs to take a spot beside Ziga. All blinded by the flash and their images burned into undisputable evidence that the Glocke was real.
This has been JP reading Die Glocke by Kelsey Bowman. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio.